It's recording now.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bless you. Surprise, surprise, it's me. I don't think Brother Wade mentioned that.
He did when we came in.
When?
When we came in this morning.
Said let him know if the teacher didn't show up.
Had to not break times.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know who's doing it all the time.
Yeah. Y'all be in a world of hurting. But we're gonna look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. Be reading several scriptures. A lot of scripture this morning. Trust everybody's had a good weekend.
Yes. What'd you say?
1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. This morning. Do a little reading this morning. And if I had the little connection for the computer, the screen up there. Get more modernized here.
Aaron?
Yes, ma'am.
Me too. When Harry and Mabel got married yesterday, Prince Harry, the minister that they had up there from her church, family, whatever, he was a black man, but let me tell you something. He was about ready to go to dancing. And those people, the queen, she had her head down like that. And you couldn't see it. You know, had her hat on. He had it. And some of the rest of them. But let me tell you, he talked about Jesus Christ and the love of God and where the salvation is. And I mean, it was wonderful to listen to him. I thought, praise God for that man. Just bless him, Lord.
I heard on the news everybody was talking about that. Really, the queen says that the sermon in the wedding shouldn't last more than 7 minutes, and he went 13 minutes.
They got a double portion. But he was good.
Hey, there were people from the United States that were posting online said, we've heard prayers lasted longer than that.
But I thought that was
so when you go to a black church, you don't know how long church is going to be. There ain't no time limit.
No, there's not. There's not.
They have one song service, they have a preaching, and then they have a second song service.
That testimony.
And,
then the black families and the little church group that was singing for them, it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Not stiff and starchy. Mm-hmm. It was really good. And I just looked at the flags all down through there, and her in her gown and her long train. I thought, oh God, Brother Branham talked about those. The bride and coming in their different clothing from the countries they come from and what all of them.
I saw an article on Facebook that was just this morning before we left the house about her mother. How her mother went from being abused by her white husband.
Yes.
Looked down on by his white family. And stepchildren, being abused by her stepchildren.
Wow.
And this girl was her only daughter. He divorced her, so she raised her daughter by herself. And how God took her from what she was to here she is meeting the queen.
Yes.
Wearing these beautiful clothes and her daughter treating her like gold.
Right.
That was neat.
That was really good.
Yeah. To see what God did.
That's right.
All right. All right.
I'm sorry.
All right. Let's get back. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Which things we also speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. It's a long scripture reading this morning, but it's good. Well, one of the thoughts I want to pick up this morning, Paul says here in verse 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Yes. And you know, when Paul came and was speaking to the Corinthians, you know, he said, I didn't come to speak to you with excellency of speech or wisdom. You know, Paul didn't want the people, you know, even though that Paul was a scholar and was well trained, he didn't want people to look at him as being a scholar. He wanted them to see Jesus Christ. He said, I don't want you to know anything else but Jesus Christ and him crucified and the power of his resurrection. That's the only thing I want you to see. Because, you know, a lot of people, you know, he could have come and spoke a lot of things that were enticing to people's ears, and, you know, being a scholar, there's a lot of things that would have been sounded great and things, but you know, that was one thing that he said, I come in fear and trembling and weakness. You know, he came with a certain way that he wanted to speak to them because he wanted them to see Jesus Christ. Yes. And you know, the thing is to see Jesus Christ and to know what he has and what he has said to us. And he says here that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, you know, he wanted to come and he wanted them to see Jesus Christ, but he wanted them to know what the Word had to say. And let's look and see what the Word has to say for us, because that's what was given to us. And he says there was a mystery here, and he said it was spoken, and he said see the world can't see that. It's not naturally discerned. He said it takes the Spirit of God to find these things. And you know, if we don't have the Spirit of God to look at these things. And, you know, we find many, many things in the Scripture that, you know, Paul talks about and some things that Brother Brown talked about. But, you know, it takes a fivefold ministry.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it took something to bring these things out, because, you know, it wasn't in the world being able to discern these things. It wasn't the world to be able to find them. Because he said, if not, he said they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. But it wasn't for them to see those things. But it's for us. And it's for us to realize that they're freely given to us. You know, if we take things and, you know, if we realize that it's freely given to us, you know, it's not that we have to struggle and strive and try to obtain something. No, it's free. If it's free, then it's free.
Right.
You know, Brother Brown said he wants to give this to you more than you want it for yourself. So if it's free, then, you know, we're not having to struggle and strive to get it. It belongs to us. But the thing is you've got to know how to get it. You know, just like he talks about the two groups of people, he said, you know, one group, knows how to write a check, but they got no money in the bank. And the other one's got money in the bank, and they don't know how to write a check.
Yeah.
But see, the problem is that you got to get them together. He said, if they know how to write a check, because the money's in the bank.
Yeah.
You know, when Brother Ram talks about the story, that one of my favorite stories is the lady that didn't have any money, and, you know, she was poor, and she had to go to charity, you know. You know, many people, you know, have heard me tell the story many times, but I just love that story.
Yes.
Why? Because it speaks to me, you know. And, you know, she was without, but, you know, she had those, what she thought was pretty pictures.
Yeah.
She had pretty pictures. And you know, and they said, well, let's see those pictures. And when she went and got her Bible, she had those pictures in her Bible. And when she opened them up and they handed them to her, you know, they were bank drafts. Her son had sent her that money, but she didn't know what she had.
Yeah.
And he said, what laid in the Bible, what laid in the lids of her Bible was a real help to her. But she didn't see that. Somebody had to come and show her what laid in the lids of the Bible. And you know, many times we have people that, you know, well, I can just get it myself. You know, brother, they said, Brother Ram makes a quote one time, people say, well, you know, I don't have to go to church, you know, I can just live a good Christian life. He said, you can't. You know, if a fivefold ministry wasn't required, then he wouldn't put it in the scripture to have one. Then it would have just fallen out of the sky, and, you know, we'd have just stripped over it. It'd have just hit us all in the head. But it didn't. It takes a person to come speak these things to us that lay in the lids of the Bible. And how many times have we taken the Bible and we've read and listened to Brother Brown say things, and all of a sudden it takes a minister to come by and speak. Somebody speaks something to us, and we see that. And I can remember years ago, Brother Harold Hildebrandt preached a message, and it was on the masterpiece. And not long before I heard Brother Hildebrandt preach, I had read the book, The Masterpiece. And I was sitting in, it was a video that somebody had given me of him preaching, and I was sitting in the basement listening. And I was watching, and Brother Hildebrandt started bringing things out of The Masterpiece. And I was like, I didn't hear that. So I finally stopped the tape and went and got the book, and I brought it in there. And he started reading things out of The Masterpiece. And you know what? And I was like, well, I read that. I had to have read that. But something had to strike it that it was there. I had read over it. And all of a sudden, Brother Hildebrandt was, and the things just struck me, and it was like, wow, that wasn't there, and I didn't see that. And you know, why is it? Because it's so important to have a fivefold ministry.
Yes.
Because, you know, we've seen people that have, you know, we've read things, we've studied things, but you know what? I've heard so many times people preach, but you know what? I thank God that we have a fivefold ministry.
Yes.
That we have a ministry that preaches the Word. And you know, it takes the Holy Ghost. It takes laying before the Word for it to come to life, for them to see that. You know, I'm gonna get ahead of myself in my notes here. But
Brother Aaron?
Yes, sir, brother.
What separates the faith that we have from other religions out there? Back to what you mentioned earlier, power and demonstration of what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
What separated Brother Branham and why we know that God sent him? It was power and demonstration.
Right.
And as you were mentioning, not knowing that things are available for us, we have a lot of teaching, instruction,
mm-hmm.
but putting it into action is where the separation is going to take place. And I so appreciate, Brother Branham, the power of the spoken word.
Right.
And how often do things come out of our lips that we aren't even aware of, that we're defeating power and demonstration in our lives. I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My family, we've always had this. I have to go to the doctor because I got to watch out for this. How many times are we inviting forces in our life that
mm-hmm.
we can be free of?
Right.
And a part of the fivefold is to share those things.
Right.
To share how to be delivered from even illnesses, pains in our body.
Right.
So I just appreciate how Paul said, I can come like in that day and age, I can come and teach.
Right.
Like Galileo, my instructor, did. Mm-hmm. And I can do this, that, and the other. But you'll be following maybe even a cunningly devised
right.
religion of some sort, offshoot of where we're called to be, especially in this day and age, power and demonstration. And this morning I woke up again encouraged. There's three things that I believe the Lord's that's being released in the earth right now. One is truly His love to be able to flow through His bride. Another is boldness to speak the word. I've been praying that Acts, what is it, chapter 4 there, where they pray boldness to speak your word and to stretch forth your arm to heal and to see the signs and wonders take place in the sign, in the name of Jesus, Yeshua. And then the third thing is favor. I think favor is being released on us in a way never before, that we can talk to people. I mean, the other day at the job site, I had a whole group of people I was telling experiences about supernatural things. And another brother, hey, I read a book about, and these are guys that are, I had just been cussing right before that, and one guy had talked about being in prison, and that he went red. Well, that was a sign to me. If there's anybody here that goes red and just gets in a fit of rage, that's a demon. I mean, that's flat and simple. I've learned that they run in gangs. You'll have murder will be on the end of anger and. Violence or what have you, that those are actual spirits, and they run in gangs, and murder usually tagging along to try and manifest itself. That's all the spirits are doing. They're looking for vessels to manifest themselves. Right. Mm. So I shared with them, there needs to be deliverance in your life because there's a demon there that's trying to manifest itself. Mm-hmm. And then how do we know that we can be delivered of things, or what's, we just say, well, that's, I'm Irish, so I'm going to be angry. I'm going to go in those rages. That's just who I am. No, don't curse yourself. That's a devil in the family line that we can take care of, those soul ties to old generational spirits that want to hang around families. Right. So anyway, I just want to make people aware of
exactly.
We're in a day
because,
right
now. One thing about it is when you receive the Spirit of Christ, when you have the Holy Spirit. Now, he said he's a gentleman. Brother Bram said he's a gentleman. But see, the thing is you've got to allow him to work.
Amen.
Because you hear the word. Now, are you going to act on it? Because we can hinder the work of God. It's not that we don't have the word. But do we hinder the work of God? Because we hinder the work of God because of our own actions and our own words. Because what we speak. Because if we don't speak the word, what he says, whether we feel it or not, whether we don't see it or not, if we speak what he says, it comes to pass.
Amen.
Because our words are seeds that we're sowing. So are we sowing the word that God said, or are we sowing the word that we think?
Right.
He said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be true.
Amen.
And he said, Brother Ram said that he's a high priest. The Bible says he's a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And if we, Brother Ram said, if we don't confess and say the same thing he did, he cannot act on that. He's only
available for
exactly. You. He's the high priest that acts on what we confess. Now going back to what you were saying, the scripture that I was going to was Hosea 4, and in Hosea 4, Hosea brings to the people, and if you go to Hosea verse 1 and you start reading the chapter, and for time we won't go there today, but when he starts bringing out, when you start reading in Hosea, when he starts talking about what was going on and how they lacked the word, verse 4 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Mm-hmm. Now if you go back and start reading at verse 1, you'll find out that it talks about envy and murder and all the different things that was going on. And And the scripture, even before verse 4, when you start reading, it talks about them bringing complaints against one another. He said not strive or contend against one another, because God said that it was not the people. See, the people weren't taught the word. And he said the problem was not the people. And he said, don't bring it. He said, because it's the priest's fault. God said, I'm bringing the accusation to the priest, because the priest were the ones that didn't preach the word. Mm-hmm. He said, y'all have failed to bring the word to the people.
Right.
And then he says, y'all stumble in the day. And he said, and the prophets fell in the night. He said, they both fall in the night. He said, what was it? He said, so the priest, because they had gotten away from the word, because they were too lax and too afraid to have boldness to speak to the people and tell them what the truth was, the people had gotten all mixed up. And he said they had become the place, and then the Bible says, and blood touches blood. The scripture tells us that it was they had murdering so often that one bloodshed touched the other bloodshed. That's how much the murdering was going on. And what struck me was, you know, that's the way we are with our words. We can edify somebody or we can destroy somebody. And you know what? There may not be bloodshed, but you know, by the words that you speak to somebody, it's just the same. Brother Bram says, if you say something against your brother and you cause someone to be offended by that, said it's the same as murdering him.
Right.
If you kill somebody's influence, you might as well just took a knife and stabbed him in the heart.
Right.
And that's what he was telling Hosea, that Hosea was bringing to the people. And what struck me is, you know, he didn't say, my people are weak because of the lack of knowledge.
There you go.
He said, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And he says, because the priests didn't bring the word. See, that's the reason that it's important to have a fivefold ministry. But see, the thing is it's we take on that responsibility because we are the ones that should labor in that. Because everybody says, well, the fivefold, you know, they want to point fingers and all, you know. But see, the thing is, yeah, you can always find one that's wrong. You can always find one that's failed. You know, all the different things. But you know what? Look at the ones, you know, because like I was speaking the other Wednesday night, you know, when Satan always brings things that happen in your life, and you see things that have happened, and he says, well, you know, what about this and what about that, and this happened and that happened. But you know what? When every devil in hell's against you, when every gun has been pointed at you, when there is no way out, and everybody has, even people that are not Christians, and yet they are the ones that have to testify that it was Almighty God that come on the scene and moved in that situation. You know what? You never find Satan bringing that back up and saying, well, what about that? You know, when the three Hebrew children were in the fire, when they were getting ready to be thrown in, and they said, listen, said, we don't care. Our God is more than able to deliver us. But if he does not deliver us from this fire, we still won't bow and we'll still have the same testimony that we had when we go in.
Yeah.
But you know what? When they went in, God came on the scene and became visible among them, that everybody else had to testify, because when the king looked in, he saw the fourth man standing in the fire. When those three boys came out, they didn't have a smell of smoke on them. They weren't singed. They didn't have a sunburn. Didn't mess up their clothes.
Right.
They didn't have anything, and they come out of the fire, and you know what? They had to testify that they'd seen God come on the scene.
Yeah.
And see, in those situations,
the same one we're serving,
exactly,
or we're loved,
exactly.
Right,
that's
now.
What's going on today. We serve the same God.
Amen. Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Brother Brown says in this is from the Message: if God be with us, then where is all the miracles? And he says, someone said to me one time, a noted doctor was talking about a miracle that had happened among a sick person. He said to me, preacher, don't you believe if I told them people to go out and touch a tree or a post, the same thing would take place? I said, no, sir. I said, because you cannot have faith in touching a tree or a post. Faith is not that loose. It's got to be based upon some noted fact. You've got to know something about what you are having faith in, because you can have faith in it. So we first must know and what God's desire is, what God's plan is, and how to approach God by that plan. And then we can walk up boldly to the throne of grace and plead what the plan is promised us. So if we know, see, that's the reason that you have to be in the Word, to know what God has said. Amen. And how to approach God.
Yeah.
You know, many people, that it's not that they don't have.
I had a preacher one time use that as an example. If we go to hit one of those switches, it's got to turn on, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have that simple faith, it's going to come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple when we take God at His word and we know it's supposed to, and if it's not happening that way, we call somebody in and say, hey, why isn't it happening that way?
That's right.
I had a preacher use that one time for that perfect example of knowing, we having faith in something that we've experienced. We've walked out, or we've heard someone else walk out, and why can't I have that same thing?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, a sister here has been trying to get...
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was just thinking that the people from Hosea, they didn't have knowledge. That's what we're getting now.
That's right.
The perfect man.
That's right.
How close we are to getting out of here. That's
Amen.
What excites me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The fact that this is being preached by our pastor.
That's right.
Getting us ready. It's a perfect people. And
that's right.
And people say, well, you think you're perfect? Well, God expects somebody to be.
Well, you know, the thing is the word says I'm perfect whether you like it or not, or whether you agree with it or not, or whether you see it or not. That has nothing to do with it.
That word perfect is mature.
Exactly.
We are mature sons and daughters in this day and age. We've been given, like you said, the knowledge.
But see, the thing is you, when you become mature, when you grow up, you're growing into the stature of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Now, the thing is Jesus not only was mature, because He was God, but He was perfect.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
Now, when we look at the word perfect, I mean, what does that mean? That means that you're not lacking anything.
He walked out what the Father had.
And so everything that was there was perfect. Why? Because it was exactly what the Scripture said. Was when He came out, He said, you know, show me where I've disbelieved the word.
Amen.
Where this yes. right here, because the body was built by the Old Testament prophets. They spoke the word, and that's what mm-hmm. He came in. So when He walked out there, He was exactly what they said.
Amen.
So He was perfect in the fact that He was exactly what the word said.
Yes, good.
So not only are we growing in maturity, because, you know, if you receive the Spirit of Christ, if you receive the new birth, you are perfect.
Amen.
Now, there's still a growth that we have to come through into maturity, but we're still perfect. Because the thing is if we're not perfect, if we don't come to, and you know, and everybody, just you know, we're not perfect, though. You're not ever going to have a problem. It's not the perfection that, you know, you don't ever have sin, but you know, we have a blood that makes us perfect.
Amen. Well, you're without sin right now because
exactly.
everything's under the blood.
So the thing, and He's still covering us today.
Amen.
All the way up until the body change.
Amen.
The Scripture tells us, says, you know, we don't know what we'll be, but we know that we'll be like Him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because we'll see Him as He is.
Mm-hmm.
So as we come to that place, and we are reaching that perfection.
Amen.
But see, people will look and say, well, I have this and I have it. No, you're perfect.
This thing, that Pest House, is only working on that real us, the perfection part. So don't identify with this thing here. This is only being used to perfect the character, like you said,
right.
of our Messiah.
Because there is a time where this will be made perfect.
Yeah.
The sin curse will be removed. Brother Brim says, in God's chosen place of worship, he says, now notice, he's talking about in Deuteronomy 16, he said, worship in the place that I have chosen. Now you must worship God, he said, in the place that I have chosen, not what someone else chose, but what I have chosen. Now if God chose a place, it behooves us then to find out what he said about it and where is it. I want to find it, and truly, I want to worship him. He talks about the different denominations. We are here to worship together. He said, we're all seeking something. He said, I want to know truth. The Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Somebody, you can't know what you're doing. You don't know how to do it until you know how to do it. You don't know what to do until you know how to do it, rather. You must know what you're doing and how to do it. This shows us that God has a meeting place for worshipers, and one certain place, in that place, only God meets his worshipers. So we must know the truth, and the truth set us free. But he said there's a way that God wants us to know how to do it, and we got to know what we're doing and how to do it. So we must know these things. The definition of know, and it ties a lot of scriptures together, but to know means to understand or perceive as a fact or truth. To apprehend clearly with certainty. He says to have established or fixed in the mind or memory. To be cognizant or aware of. To understand from experience or attainment. Usually, and it says, to be able to distinguish as one from another or discern. So when we know something, when he says we must know these things, we must be able to not only to understand, perceive, but discern these things. Because as the scripture says, the spiritual man discerns spiritual things. And the natural man discerns natural things. And it has to be by the Spirit of God that we know these things, that we can discern these things. And in the scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your remembrance by your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the things which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world was then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. So, you know, even, you know, as the scripture came forth, and then he says that in the last days there'll be scoffers that'll come. But he says, I want you to stir up your pure minds in a way of remembrance of these things. These things that you should know. And he said, and the scoffers will come in the last days wanting to know where's the sign of his coming. And he said, you know, they're speaking of these things and said, you know, things continue as they are. But yet, he said, they're willingly are ignorant of the fact that the earth has already been destroyed. See, they've not even seen what's been taking place. But he said, it may speaking to us to understand these things, that we should know what the scripture has to say. And I want to look at I don't have it on the screen this morning, but I just want to read a few scriptures. I'm going to kind of go through some and just kind of hit a few things. But there's two things that we've been looking at this morning, and one of them is to know something, and the other one I want to look at is where Peter says here not to be ignorant of something. And you know, there's a lot of scriptures throughout the Bible, and I just want to kind of, we don't have time to go through all of them, but I just want to point out a few scriptures that we look, and this is from what the apostles wrote, that we're gonna go through and just look at some of them. And listen to what the Apostle Paul and John and different ones write. And then we'll look at some other ones. But starting in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, And Paul says, and we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Romans 7:14 says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Romans 8:22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. 1 Corinthians 8:4 says, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered and sacrificed unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9 says, for we know in part and prophesy in part. Verse 10 says, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 1 Corinthians 5:16 says, therefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. 1 Timothy 1:8 says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Hebrews 10:30 says, for we know that him, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And then 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we can keep his commandments. And verse 5 says, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. 1 John 2:18 says, little children, it is the last time, as we have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And he says, 1 Corinthians 3:2 says, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I'm not reading all of them, but just trying to hit a few. But 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 15, he says, and if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And so there's more scriptures that were, but that's what I was amazed at, is how many times where the apostles are right, especially Paul, where he says, we know. Right. We know. Yes. We know. We know. And then you go, and I'm not going to read all of them, but
here, I just looked up, in the Greek, it's ignorance is to be hidden from one, something that they're unaware of or even secretly hidden from. In the Hebrew, they take the word know, to know, and they just put the not next to it, so you're not knowing. I just thought that was so interesting how it's the same word for know, but they just put the negative to it in the Hebrew, yada. And I just ran across a minister this week, so it's interesting this popped up, that was talking about how God has laid out in our pathways things He wants us to find about Himself, and then we can share it with others or however it edifies us.
Right.
He said it's like a two-year-old, and he used Easter eggs or whatever. You set it right on the floor. You want them to find this gift or treasure.
Right.
And then he said that when we pass on the other side, God talks about on the manifold ages to come, He's going to continue to reveal to us His mercy, His manifold mercy there that Scripture talks about.
Right.
And I just thought how we're in this neat little journey on this side, and God actually is laying things along our way that we're going to stumble on, because eventually we're going to, as we're becoming mature and learning, we're going to come into that place that He wants us to be before we get out of here. Then when we get on the other side, it's going to continue for umpteen ages, still revealing, finding out about the one we're in love with. Yeah, I just thought that was a neat encouragement to keep fighting this battle.
Well, anyway, I didn't get to the scriptures where Paul says that we should not be ignorant, but the read one of them. But First Thessalonians 4, you know, Paul says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep." So there's different scriptures in there, and we didn't get to those, but I wasn't expecting to get through all this morning. But there's a lot to cover, but you know, there's lots of times where Paul says, "I would not have you ignorant, brother. I would not have you ignorant." And you know, it's important, you know, because the scripture is worded a certain way, and you know, it's for us to know these things. And I, you know, it's just one thing that came to me when I was looking at this was Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," Brother Ram said that meant absolutely. You know, He was calling their attention to what He was saying. And lots of times I think when Paul was, or the apostles were writing, we know these things, or not be ignorant of these things. I think it's important for us to look at what they have to say, because I think they're bringing us a point that, you know, that we need to look at, be cognizant of that. So God bless you this morning.
Thank you.